Good morning again. Good morning. I invite you back to the scriptures this morning, of course. We look at the scriptures always. So turn with me to the book of Acts. We are going to look here this morning. As we continue our study in the making of the church, we turn again to Acts chapter 3 this morning, in the book of Acts. As you're turning there, you may want to hold in readiness just a reference there, Jeremiah chapter 17. I don't think we'll have time for the rest of the references, but I list them there for you. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for who you are. Where would we be without you? You remind the reader of Scripture that you feed all of the animals. You feed every man. You bring rain upon the earth and sunshine and growth. The earth's ability to constantly produce and reproduce is amazing. We are benefits of that, certainly. And so, Father, remind us of your goodness, your love for us. And more than feeding us, more than providing for us, more than our daily bread, you want us to be in eternity with you. You draw us to hear your word and to do it and to learn of your ways, for these are not our ways, to have your wisdom and your strength and even a portion of your power so that we may move through this life and get to the next with faith. So be with us now as we look at the scriptures and wrestle with these words and do it together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I have never, I don't think ever, heard, and if I have rarely preached, I don't know if I've ever preached about the topic of healing. But how do we get around this? How do we talk about healing in the 21st century in a biblical way, when there's so much in Scripture in the early church concerning healing? I mean, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus was constantly healing people. Jesus was constantly moving through the countryside and the towns and the homes of people, drawing them to himself and healing. And the apostles even have this power, this strength, this ability to heal in the name of Jesus Christ. So how do we wrestle with this idea of healing accurately? We can't not talk about it when we talk about the making of the church, but it's something we should be aware of. And so I reference Jeremiah, a portion of Jeremiah, quickly. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. God says in a prayer through Jeremiah, he says to us, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." And that's many, many people's prayer. Lord, if you just heal me, if you just say the words, if you just reach out and save me, I will be saved, I will be healed, and I will praise, right? And yet we have countless people with faith who are struggling to be healed, struggling with this idea. And so I want to talk about it, at least for a few minutes this morning, because it is part of the making of the church. And the first question I have is, why? Why was it? Why was it such a thing? And why was it such a needed thing for the early church if very few people can just simply be healed today in the name of Jesus, by referencing the name of Jesus like we're going to see in this chapter here? What do we do with this? How do we adequately form an opinion that's based in Scripture on this topic about the beginning of the church and the making of the church? Well, there's a question. We'll get into it just here in a minute. In his book, Matthew Kelly, and I believe he's a Catholic writer, in his book, Rediscover Jesus, An Invitation, he says this of the invitation. Lost my page here, excuse me. There we go. A good invitation fills us with joy. A good invitation fills us with joy, right? More books have been written about Jesus than about any other person or subject in history. This book you are holding, this one right here, is not a book with all the answers. It is just a simple, approachable, digestible starting point for anyone who shares my yearning to rediscover Jesus. It, too, is an invitation. There's a wonderful joy that comes from rediscovering or discovering something or someone for the first time. There's also an immense joy that comes from rediscovering something or someone. When I come home from a trip, he says, whether I have been gone for 2 days or 2 weeks, I get the joy of rediscovering my wife and children. To rediscover is a beautiful thing. It's time to rediscover Jesus, not just for your own sake, but for our children and their children, for the sake of our local church communities, for society at large, and for all humanity. Look around you. Take a minute. Look around you. The world is constantly grappling with crisis and war. People are weary from the dysfunction of their own lives. The chaos is crying out for order. The complexity is crying out for simplicity. At every level in society, from the beggar on the street to the leaders of nations, we are all looking for something to solve the crisis of our lives and of our times. It is time to stop looking for something and start looking to someone, Jesus of Nazareth. For more than 2,000 years, he has been performing miracles in the lives of ordinary men and women. Now he wants to perform miracles in you and through you. Are you ready? Well, that's an interesting little chapter there. I mentioned he's Catholic, writing as a part of dynamiccatholic.com. Fascinating. What do we do with healing? Well, I want to look this morning at Acts chapter 3 in this wonderful story, and I want to read the chapter just very quickly for you, and I want to go into chapter 4, just a few verses, and this is a very easy story to process, very just easy listening, so just sit back for just a minute and listen, okay? Here is what happened following the description of the fellowship of the believers in Acts chapter 2, where it tells us in Acts chapter 2 that all the people had everything in common. They continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. They continued worshiping, and they distributed needs as some had them, and as some had real needs in their lives, they distributed the food, and the needs were met with generous and glad hearts. They continued praising God, all these things. And then it says this. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple. This is Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. Give me some money if you can, spare some. That's what he's asking for. Give me something, some food, money, anything. And Peter directed his gaze at him, verse 4, Acts 3, verse 4. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. So Peter and John are going into the temple. This beggar, who is lame from birth, is asking them for something. And they say, look at us. Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk! Exclamation point. Some of you know this fun kids song, right? And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While they clung to Peter and John, of course he's going to hang around with them, right? While they clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Now, very rarely do I get to preach what another man preaches, so this is what he says to them. All right, here we go. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, and why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by the faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, his Christ, would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets whom have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaimed these days, 'You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." And as they were speaking, Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. There's our text. Simple story, simple to understand. It's just the history of what happened in chapter 3 and into chapter 4. But what do we do with healing? What do we do with it? What do we do when a Christian begs to be healed, prays to God for years, and is not healed? How do we answer those questions? When we go to the book of James and it says, "Ask and you shall receive," right? Don't have because you do not ask. What do we do with that? When Jesus says, "Ask and seek and knock, for the door will be open to you," what do we do with this? Well, I present it as this, okay? This is an invitation to speak to the power of Christ. Or this is, through his power, an invitation to speak. Do we have answers for healings or no healings? Why can you go to the far reaches of Africa and there are suddenly healings there? Johanna Broughton, this week just in Tanzania. There's going to be some amazing things that happen there. Do they happen here? Are we just faithless? And yet, we meet out here in the pavilion every Wednesday. Myself, usually Greg, and another guy. And we pray. A long list of people we pray for. Many of them, many of them, right, Greg? Many of them suffering with cancer. Surgeries with cancer. And I have to say this, you wouldn't believe the success that it's coming because we're praying. And it's not because we are praying. Don't get me wrong. It's not because we are praying. It's because we're praying and He is working. So the first thing I want you to know is healing does not depend on you. Healing does not depend on you. Okay? Healing does not depend on you or your righteousness. In 2021, my dad passed away, and we stood out with many, many other people outside a hospital brick wall and looking through a window at my dad suffering, being able to breathe, not being able to breathe, literally dying, and people prayed and prayed and prayed. And I looked at a woman who taught with my mom for years, and I said, Joyce, this just feels different. It feels like this is the end for my dad. And she said, I kind of agree. There was something in our spirit that just felt like this was going to be it, regardless of how we prayed. So healing doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. And I want to also say this. Healing isn't just for this life. God gives us healing eternally. And sometimes it takes us to get to eternity to be healed. Okay? So there's no right or wrong answer. And that's exactly what you see if you study Scripture. Strangely enough. Some people are healed and it's for a time. Some people are not healed ever. Some people are healed and it's forever. It's that experience. And this is our experience. Do we have answers for it? Unfortunately, we don't. But when there is healing, this is what I want you to hear. When there is healing, we have answers for that. Who's behind it? Christ, right? And so healing is an opportunity to speak to the great power in the name of Jesus Christ when there is healing. The rest is death because of sin, suffering because of sin. You know, I was invited to go to a tractor trailer show last night, and the tractor trailer pull, or tractor pull, semi-tractor pull. I should say semi-tractor trailer show and pull, right? That's what I mean to say. And I went. Hector and myself and Carson and Emmett. We had a good time, didn't we, Hector? Yeah, oh yeah. And we saw toward the end of this pull, right, we saw an amazing power, a ton of power, right, Hector? A ton of power. And this guy's going almost, was it 400-some feet? Almost 400 feet? Was that the 340, thank you, 340, not 400 feet. 340 feet or so was the record. And this guy, you know, beautiful truck, tons of money in these things, right? Tons of power. You can feel it in your chest. Just feel it. That's what it felt like. And all of a sudden, boom, one blows. Everybody's like, oh, because you think of the money and you think of the time and you think of the effort and the power. And we, you know, we had a good laugh at his expense. The crowd did. Plenty of power. Just like us, usually plenty of power. But sometimes we just blow. Sometimes we're just supposed to be done. So the church can't speak to this very long or well. All we can speak to this is because He has given us power, He will heal eternally. Why doesn't Christ always heal? I don't know. I don't know. And maybe it's because He knows we're not really meant for this world. And in the meantime of processing us or moving us from this world to the next, there's some things we all need to be taught about life and death. We see these amazing stories like this one here. And it's joyful, it's happy. He went walking and leaping and praising God, right? Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Stand up and walk. That's the story we always want. Unfortunately, that's not always the story we get. But what happens because of this story? I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to focus just in on the story. What happens because of this story and because of the reality of this man being healed? The message of the gospel is spoken adequately and properly. The apostles are put into custody. So some damaging things here happening. And also, 5,000 people, 5,000 souls hear and believe. Amazing what takes place because of one healing sometimes. Sometimes God has in mind to save just one who isn't even sick. Sometimes God has in mind to take one who is desperately sick and praying for healing and will get it eternally. How does the church react to this? I think, you know, in our fallen nature, we want to have just constants, and there just aren't any. The only constant is we're going to die. This life we live doesn't end well. We all know that. It only ends one way. And the longer you live, maybe the less comfortable or the more comfortable you are with that. I'm not sure. I've done a lot of funerals. I've buried my dad. I've seen babies be buried. And that's maybe the hardest. But there aren't a lot of answers. And that seems to be consistent with Scripture. So what do? We speak to the healings when there are. In the name of Jesus Christ, people are healed. Sometimes people get more time and they don't even deserve it. But then again, who deserves what? Right? Don't we all deserve death? So the amazing story is here, I think, that the apostles suffer for being the agents of healing. Isn't that interesting? The church grows, and one man is healed profoundly, and the message is preached. It's really what we're trying to do. Verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5. What's that verse say? The next verse, I'll leave you with it till next week. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Even the people in disbelief are asking, how does this happen? How do men be healed? So there's opportunity to speak to the name of Jesus, and that is a major portion of the making of the church. We have to speak to the power that Christ has given us. It's in Him, always in Him. You can go and witness a lot of power to semi-tractor trailer show. Go feel it in your chest. You can live a long life and feel that power in your chest. You can see a lot of things and travel the world and witness the power in your chest. But until you speak of the truth, there's not a lot of power in your life. Says here, many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. You know, this is the second time in the book of Acts that thousands of men and women believe. And that's just the men, it seems. What about the women and the children who are part of these men's families? Thousands of people are coming to Christ because of his power poured out on the church, and that's something to take hold of. That's something we should think about. Do we have that same power? Yes, we do. Do we have it to heal? No, we don't. Why? I don't know. But we have the power to speak. We have the power to speak to his power. So that seems to be the message as we move through the book of Acts. We want to close today's service with a video. Shelley, are we good to go with that? She says, give me a thumbs up. Tiffany and I got a wonderful video by email this past week. And wonderful. This young lady is so well put together as a young missionary. We've supported her. Johanna Broughton was here in February. She sent us a video as she launched out to Tanzania this week, and we should take some time to watch just a minute or two. It's only just a couple minutes more, so bear with me. It's a 20-something-year-old lady. How old is she, Shelley? 23? Something like that? Listen to her.
Hello, Arise Church. It's Johanna Broughton here, and I'm super excited to be sharing this update with you today. But first, for those who don't know me, I am a full-time missionary serving in Tanzania, East Africa, with Overland Missions. And Overland Missions, really the heart of the organization, the heart of our team, of what we do, is we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the most remote people in the most forgotten places in the world. And so our heart is to see the lost found, to see them reached with the gospel. And so, first of all, I just want to say a huge thank you to your church. The way that you have come alongside me, the way that you have encouraged me, the way that you have prayed for our team, the way that you have given financially into this ministry, I'm so grateful. And I could never do this without the support of your church. And so I just want to say thank you for the way that you've come alongside me. I got to come earlier this year in February and speak one Sunday at your church and to share the heart and the vision with you all, and share with the youth a little bit too. And it was such a beautiful time to get to know your church, to get to know your hearts, and to invite you to come alongside me as we fulfill the Great Commission together. And so thank you for saying yes alongside me to this call. I could not go without your support, and I look forward to continuing to share with you in the future. But for today, I have a very exciting update to share with you all, because I am fully funded and preparing to head out this week to Tanzania to be with my team there. And so by the time you're watching this video, I will be in my new home in Tanzania, sharing the gospel with people out there, discipling the people that we meet, teaching them to go and disciple their own people. And so it's a very exciting time, very exciting week to be launching out. And I just wanted to take a moment to pause before I head over there and just to thank you all for the way that you've come alongside me. And I also want to ask that you continue to pray for our team as we're going out to these places. Would you pray for strength and endurance as we go out to remote places, remote villages? It's not easy to go to these places. And so would you pray for endurance, perseverance, strength for us as we go out? Would you pray for the people of Tanzania that their hearts would be open to receive the gospel, that they would be ready to be discipled by our team, and that they would just be set on fire to go and reach their own people with the gospel? And of course, if you would pray just over all of the logistics of settling into a new place, a new culture, learning to live amongst a people that is new to me, a culture that is new to me. I'm so excited to jump in. And if you would join me in prayer over those pieces, that would mean so very much. And so just thank you again for coming alongside. Thank you for choosing to partner with me in this. I'm so excited to continue sharing this journey with you all and look forward to updating you more in the future. So have a blessed day.
That language is clear and defining. She invites us to pray, asks us to pray. Matthew Kelly invites us to rediscover Jesus. The scriptures invite us to see his power, invite us to read the text, invite us to pray and hold the power of Jesus Christ. So why don't we more? Let's do that together. Let's pray for Johanna. Lord Jesus, we lift up Johanna Broughton in prayer as she is in Tanzania, only there just a few days now, less than a week, just 4 days or so there. And as she gets settled in, may she greet and teach and pray for and meet as many people as she can, and may you go with her. May you keep her in step with the Spirit, like Galatians 5 says, and may you just surround her with your Spirit, and fill her with your Spirit so she can do a mighty work there as she speaks. And let this be our realization as well, that you've taught us, you've told us, you've caught us, really, like a fisher of men. You've caught us to turn us loose on your world and to speak to it adequately, appropriately, profoundly. So, Father, help us and give us boldness and give us courage and give us strength to not wear out, not tire, and speak to your truth. Speak to the stories of it. While it's amazing and powerful, not everything makes sense always the same way. You are doing what you do. You are no respecter of persons. You do what you do with each man, each woman, each individual. But may we speak to your power that you've given your church. May we speak to the power that you've given us as individuals who discover and rediscover you. May we speak to the power of your word, the power even to heal, and pray for that. And I think that's the point, Lord, as you slowly take the power that the apostles had for healing from them. You call us to gather and pray so that all recognition and all authority, all praise may go to you. May we not get in the way of that. These things we pray in your name. Amen.